Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Coming up on podcast 1453, rental firms just keep adding to their fleets. If you stick around, I'll tell you everything I know. Also on the show today, Biden administration spending big on batteries, Stellantis spending big in Canada, and why CATL faces some competition from the other battery makers to be the biggest of the lot. Well, those stories and a lot more coming up today, so let's crack on. It's a busy day to start the week. Morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you're listening around the world, welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. Monday, 2nd of May, my name is Martin Lee. My job is to go through every EV story I can find, sometimes 500, 700, 800 a day, and just whittle it down to 20 minutes of EV News, just the important stuff, filtering out the fluff and saving you time. Starting with some spy shots, because when we start to see these, we know the vehicles aren't too far away, of the Mercedes-Benz EQE. Now, I like the EQE sedan version. I think the proportions are better than the EQS, which, from some angles, not the best looker. I know, very slippery through the air. But now the EQE gets an SUV version, like the EQS got an SUV version. So you can get the EQE and you choose the body style you want. And for many people, many markets, the SUV is just a no-brainer. They're just going to buy that version because people want the SUV. Still built on the EVA platform, and it's going to be built in Alabama, actually, at the Tuscaloosa plant. So I think that's for the world, actually. I think the global production is at the Tuscaloosa plant. So the rear doors at the back don't stretch as long. The front overhang is also shorter. And the EQE SUV will, if it's like the EQS brother-sister car, will have the same specs between either the sedan version or the SUV version. So that would be, on this one, 90 kilowatt-hour battery, 288 horsepower, and a more powerful setup with four-wheel drive, motor on the front axle will no doubt be coming. Perhaps all-wheel steering, that might make the cut. Standard feature in the US, optional in Europe, if you look at the other cars from Mercedes. One of my neighbours, actually, you know what, I always make small talk with them, wave as we drive past. They seem utterly lovely. They've always got two or three Mercedes in their driveway, and I've never stopped and asked them what they do. I wonder, because they've always got the latest plate Mercedes-Benz, sometimes two, sometimes three. One of them's often a smart car as well. So I wonder whether they're connected with them, because we hear that our Mercedes dealer and smart dealer are next to each other. They've always got the latest plate Merc. I wonder whether work at the dealership or something, maybe run the dealership, and those are company cars they take home. The reason I'm telling you this, because for the last week, they have had a Mercedes-Benz EQC, a 22 plate, in their driveway, and I keep driving past it and keep looking at the EQC and thinking, oh my goodness, the styling is really starting to grow on me. That is a nice car. The EQE SUV, a step up from that, I think, is also, the proportions wise, looking really, really nice. And we see spy shots when we see those cars getting closer. So expect hopefully a reveal very soon. Now, a big story from the US, which will develop this week, the Biden administration is going to begin a $3.1 billion effort to spur the domestic production of advanced batteries, which the Biden administration sees as essential to speed up the adoption of EVs and renewable energy, according to the New York Times, who writes, currently, lithium, cobalt and other minerals needed for EV batteries and energy storage are processed in Asia. China alone controls 80% of the world's processing and refining of critical minerals. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia is facing an important, crucial vote, you would say, for climate legislation in the evenly divided Senate. And you can't rely on him to vote with the Democrats because West Virginia, coal country, he makes millions from the coal industry. He said only last month, and I quote, grave concerns about moving towards an EV-only future, end quote. I don't know why he would have grave concerns. I know he's arguing for hydrogen. It just seems slightly bonkers, but I guess everyone's different, you know, takes all sorts. And China controls the minerals for EV batteries. And so he's saying, well, I'm not going to vote for anything to do with EVs because China control it. So now the Biden administration is saying, OK, let's put $3 billion into a domestic, robust US supply chain. I'm sure he'll still find a reason to argue against it. I find the whole thing really bizarre how America almost seems completely on pause in terms of voting things through because they have this kind of one person who has almost like the deciding vote. I don't know enough about American politics. I know it's very tribal, and I know that obviously their politicians can do more private deals and lobbying than our politicians can. Very, very tight rules on what our politicians can and can't do, you wouldn't think, but much tighter than the US. So I know that money controls stuff and interests control American politics a lot more. But either way, hopefully this can be pushed through because this money will aim to create companies that can retrofit batteries, expand battery processing, expand battery recycling. The Department of Energy have big plans for this. Well, what is the $1 trillion infrastructure law with a total of $7 billion, which is a pretty small amount as part of that $1 trillion, to create this domestic battery supply chain. So, so important. If US listeners want to move away from that reliance on Asia and China and all the politics that come with that. Back in April last month, President Biden invoked the Defense Production Act to give the government avenues to support mining, processing and recycling of critical minerals, materials, lithium, nickel, cobalt, graphite and manganese. So there are ways of doing it and moving forward. It seems to make a lot of sense to me, at least, to have as many sources around the world and not rely on one country. But hey, if there's different opinions that I'm not seeing, then please explain them to me. I'd love to learn from you, the listener to this podcast. Between EVs and grid storage, the market for lithium-ion batteries in the US is expected to increase by a factor of 20 to 30 in the next decade, which is why they need a secure domestic supply chain, writes the New York Times. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes. Now, Stellantis are spending big and investing $2.8 billion to overhaul not one, but two Canadian factories to build fully electric vehicles, the company said earlier today. As part of their $35 billion global commitment to electrification, the revamp will allow Stellantis to build electric versions of upcoming models. The company also will add a battery lab to their R&D facility in Windsor, Ontario, creating another 650 new jobs. Retooling of the Windsor plant will begin early next year. I didn't say which models would come out of those factories. Stellantis and LG, the big Korean battery maker, already spending $4.1 billion in Windsor for a major EV gigafactory, a battery cell plant, and that is creating 2,500 new jobs. I'll pop a link to CNBC in the show notes if you want to read more about that. Congratulations to everyone at Electrify America. They provided 1.45 million customer EV charging sessions last year. Let's call it 1.5 million because we're all friends and I like a good roundup. 1.5 million EV charging sessions highlights the rapid deployment of their charging stations across the US. By comparison, it was 270,000 the year before. Electrify America estimates that EV drivers avoided the use of 5.7 million gallons of petrol and traveled 145 million pure electric miles. They dispensed 41.4 gigawatt hours last year. Wowee. Electrify America have 800 EV charging stations and 3,500 individual chargers open or with construction completed. The largest open ultra-fast DC charging network with chargers up to 350 kilowatts. Electrify America expects to have more than 1,800 charging stations with 10,000 chargers by 2026. That's the US and Canada, by the way. I'll pop a link to that press release if you'd like to read more from EA. Toyota are wasting their share of EV tax credits, according to Jalopnik. They were a pioneer with the hybrid Prius before sort of forgetting about electrification, really, for the next 15 years. They have an unseemly obsession with fuel cell technology, says Jalopnik. And unfortunately for them, they kind of screwed up the tax credit situation, because if you like the new Toyota coming out, the BZ4X, well, you might not get any money off it. How is that possible? You may be thinking, well, the tax credit also applied to plug-in hybrids. Bloomberg pointing out that Toyota has sold nearly 200,000 hybrids in the US, which did apply for some form of tax credit. Things like there was the RAV4 electric, there's the RAV4 Prime, that was the plug-in, there was the Prius Prime plug-in. So not really massively special vehicles, although I know plenty of people who, you know, bought them and loved them. That's used up their 200,000 limitation. So all of a sudden, they're coming with a full electric car, and they haven't got any tax credits to use. They have reported sales of another 8,500 plug-in cars in the first quarter, which gets them very close. 183,000 in total now they've used. Bob Carter is Toyota of North America's VP of sales. He said, "We are planning for it because Tesla is out and GM is out and will be out in the second quarter. And when you're out, you get into the step-down phase. So we're planning for that," he said. Bloomberg says that Nissan is about 34,000 Leafs away from crossing the threshold. Ford is about 43,000 EVs from crossing the threshold before that phase out begins. On the way coming soon, we'll talk about how China's EV buyers maybe get a few more subsidies, actually, from their local governments to stimulate EV take-up, and why rental firms are adding EVs to their fleets all the time. Stick around, those stories, they're on the way.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now, let's talk batteries. Oh, love a good battery story. In the first quarter of this year, global EV battery shipment was 95 gigawatt hours. That's a 94% increase from the same time last year. Biggest in the world was CATL. They're a Chinese company. Then it was the Korean company LG, but about half the size of CATL. That's how far ahead CATL are with making mostly the lithium iron phosphate, LFP batteries. And then it's BYD, then it's Panasonic, then it's SK On. Chinese battery makers have been riding the LFP wave to gain market share, writes Pedro at pushevs.com. Japanese and Korean makers still don't mass produce cobalt-free batteries. However, they're developing LFP cells that could soon enter mass production. Panasonic, they still suffer from relying exclusively on the cylindrical cells for one sole customer, and that would be Tesla, and they haven't diversified, and so that's why they're only in fourth. CATL are determined to stay on top and will start mass production of their sodium ion batteries. That begins next year. Now, China, staying there, their EV buyers in some areas may get local subsidies. Provincial-level governments may distribute billions to buyers of battery-powered cars for the rest of the year as a result of the COVID shutdowns that have happened. Local governments have been offering cash incentives to buyers, but were ordered by Beijing to stop 3 years ago, according to the South China Morning Post. Sources at car manufacturers and dealers say they're lobbying local governments. For instance, Guangdong's government announcing at the weekend that consumers who buy a new electric car to replace another vehicle get a 10,000 yuan subsidy this month and next month in May and June. Those buying a petrol car will be awarded some money, but a lot less as well, to support the entire industry. The finance ministry began slashing the subsidy 3 years ago and required local governments to scrap any kind of cash incentives, hoping to wean car makers off rebates and foster a kind of a survival of the fittest ethos in the overcrowded marketplace. Yeah, there were tons of EV makers in China, and hopefully the cream rises to the top. That was at least the theory of taking away any of those kind of incentives and local subsidies. But it's amazing what China will do. They can react so quickly. It was only last month that we had the shutdown, and all those factories were closed because of the kind of COVID flare-up, and immediately they're able to say, right, even on a local level, let's put these systems in place and stimulate the economy. And it's amazing. Well, I say amazing, but it's interesting how quickly they can move compared to other places. Now, headline story, rental firms are adding electric vehicles. And that may actually help people buy more of them. Moves by rental car companies to beef up their EV offerings could aid in adoption, experts say, though it will take time to accelerate, writes the DetroitNews.com. They say that EV sales are still 3% of all sales in the US, with range and charging and cost remaining top concerns. But a taste of the EV life with a rental could be the trick to get people to consider converting. Now, GM's fleet VP, Ed Pieper, saying, we see a great opportunity for increased awareness and potential for more adoption as we work with rental companies to incorporate our EVs into their fleets. We're certain that first-hand experience will be a great experience for EV considerers and enthusiasts alike. And that's really true, isn't it? Think about the first time you were in an EV. Were you driving? Were you a passenger? Was it a light bulb moment for you? For so many people, it is. They get it on an intellectual level. When you are in an EV, you feel it in your gut and you go like, oh, right, yes, this is great. I'll have one of these, please. Enterprise added thousands of EVs from Polestar, Nissan, Hyundai, Kia, Tesla as well. Spokesperson telling the Detroit News. And they intend to buy Silverado EVs as well, that new truck. The company allows their own employees to test the vehicles. And they do that so that their employees understand the overall customer experience relating to when you charge an EV, the range, and even operational needs. It's interesting, one of the sponsors of this podcast, the teams at Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, are talking to the team there. It was a little while ago now, but like their philosophy is they get all of their staff at the dealers, any of their salesmen and saleswomen, anyone who's selling you an EV at their dealers. And they're obviously, they sponsor an EV podcast. They're very pro EV, very EV forward, real forward thinking dealers and a dealership chain. And they say they make them, even if they haven't driven an EV for a certain period of time, right, take the keys to that one, go and charge it, drive it for an hour, empty the battery, do a DC fast charge and come back if you haven't done it on that model. So that at least they've got experience. That's so, so important. I reckon so few people think like that. And interestingly, that Enterprise do with their own staff. Because if you go to rent an EV, you want somebody to be experienced. Well, earlier this month, Hertz and Polestar formed a partnership with Hertz, buying 65,000 Polestars over the next 5 years. There have been times when car makers sold high volumes of vehicles to rental fleets simply to unload them and support higher production, giving them massive discounts to cook the books. That sounds like they're doing anything dodgy. It wasn't. It was just to increase the numbers. But look, business has changed. EVs are in short supply. Ford, back in February, when it launched the e-Transit, said that they have more than 10,000 orders from the likes of Penske Truck Leasing, which added 750 of those Transits, again, for rental and full service lease. Fluid Truck, well, that's a peer-to-peer platform. They recently added the Ford e-Transits for rental. Sunbelt Rentals. They're a tool rental company. They also added 700 Ford F-150 Lightnings to their fleet and waiting to get those delivered. So, yeah, that's a great story to include today. Now let's move on. And someone here has done some maths, and I think I agree with them, but you check it out yourself. Norway has more electric cars per capita than any other nation. That's not up for debate. They have over 500,000 EVs. That's one for every 11 people. The combined capacity of all those rolling batteries is probably somewhere around 34 gigawatt hours in the country, writes somebody on solarquotes.com.au website. That's an average of 6 kilowatt hours of storage per Norwegian, or 13 kilowatt hours per household. That's basically a Tesla Powerwall in every home. If they keep adding EV battery capacity at this rate, the average will be 88 kilowatt hours of energy per household. So the way they've worked it out is a bit like this. Well, last year, 65% of new Norwegian car registrations were full EV. For the first 3 months of the year, it was 83%. Add plug-in hybrids, and it was 91%. Now, there are, at the minute, around 3.4 million road vehicles in Norway. 500,000 of them are EV, which means that 15% are all electric of the car fleet. So, this author assumes that for EV models that with more than one battery pack, that two-thirds have the small one and one-third have the big one, if you like. Or maybe I do 50-50, I'm not sure. But anyway, total capacity of the top 10, so they've ranked the top 10 Norwegian EVs that were sold. They've looked at the battery size, averaged that out, and given the average EV pack size in Norway of a new car, the top 10 new cars sold, of 68 kilowatt hours. Take that average. Again, we're working on some assumptions. 68 kilowatt hours for a new EV battery. I know you're applying this retrospectively, and a lot of those Leafs had a much smaller battery. But they say that actually, if you then divide that by a country with 5.5 million people, it comes out that on average, for every Norwegian, there are 6 kilowatt hours of battery storage on the road. An entirely perhaps useless stat, but nevertheless one that I thought was utterly brilliant and should be a statistic that every country has. Norway would win, by the way, but absolutely hilarious. Right, finishing off, a bit of good news coming out of Shanghai in China. Tesla is resuming Gigafactory production back up to 80%. That's important because whether you're in China or not, I'm guessing you're not, that actually the export market from Giga Shanghai is so important that it affects the rest of the world. We found out actually that Tesla was part of the first whitelist of companies put together by Shanghai to resume production. The company recently reopened a closed loop system, so nobody goes in or out. Employees live and work at the factory, and China has so far allowed 1,854 companies to resume production. I'll pop a link to investing.com in the website where I found that story. So Shanghai almost up to full capacity, which is great news if you're waiting and waiting and waiting for a brand new Tesla. Hopefully yours will be on the way very soon. Right, question of the week, a brand new week with emobilitynorway.com. We'll take a break for a week, and this one will return next Monday on the 9th of May. In the meantime, thanks to our premium partners, Phil Roberts. He's at electricfutureef.energy. Hi to Brad Crosby. Hi to Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati. Hi to Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. Hi to National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk. UK for buying and selling EVs in the UK. emobilitynorway.com. Octopus Electric Juice. They make public charging simple with one card, one map and one app. And millbrookcottages.co.uk. They are five-star luxury cottages in Devon, and you can jump in the hot tub while your car charges on their EV chargers they have there. Thank you very much for listening. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.